Set your phasers to sexy. Hey, you reading comic books, like the way you look, like the way you always mess with your hair. Playing PS3, it's just you and me in my dreams, and I want to go to bed.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of True North Nerds.
Yay! Woo!
This week, we're going to talk a little bit more about the X-Men 9-7, and we're going to talk a bunch of stuff that happened at CinemaCon this week, and we'll probably just shoot the shit for a little bit, too. But first, we have Ryan.
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
We have Jen.
Hi.
And we have Kevin.
Do we have him? Is he here?
Oh, no. He was doing chores. I think a tree fell on him or something.
Don't let him escape.
You could, with the amount of trees that have come down in the last 2 weeks.
That's something we probably shouldn't joke about.
Oh, I'm lucky that a large branch didn't either come through the roof of my house or hit my car.
Mm.
Yeah, last weekend when we had that heavy wet snow and then all that wind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it brought down a lot of huge, huge pine limbs all around my house.
For our listeners who aren't in Ontario, the weather has been very unpredictable the last week, I guess would be the best way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's spring. It's winter. It's spring. It's winter. It's spring. It's winter.
Yep.
We had one day there where it was starting to feel like summer, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Let's get on with things. And Ryan?
Yes.
What is in the news this week?
Okay. So let's start off with this. I don't know if it was big news or what, but Jen, I think, was the one that found this and shared it with the class. Yes. There's a Reading Rainbow documentary coming.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that.
Yeah. It looks really cool. I'm very interested in seeing it, too. And I figured I would share that with the class, since Jen did. So it looks like it's, it looks like it's a documentary about Reading Rainbow. So who doesn't want to see that?
And how awesome Reading Rainbow is.
But yeah.
All those documentaries about kid shows of our youth, they usually make me cry.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Mr. Dress-Up one, the Sesame Street one. But I was a little bit old for Reading Rainbow, so that one probably won't make me cry, but I'll give it a look.
Oh, I forgot to watch the Mr. Dress-Up one. Still gotta watch that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen those.
Oh, weird tangent. I saw a TikTok. If you go to the CBC building in Toronto, you can see Mr. Dress-Up's treehouse.
No, it's gone now.
Oh, okay. It might've been an old TikTok.
Yeah, it used to be in the CBC Museum, but I think it's been moved.
Womp, womp, womp. Okay, let's get right into everything else then. Okay, Kevin, Star Trek news.
Oh, it's been a roller coaster of emotions. So basically, we got two announcements this week. One, that Strange New Worlds, this is what we got first. First, we got the announcement that Strange New Worlds was being renewed for season 4. And then later in the same statement, we learned that Lower Decks was going to end this season with season 5.
Now,
so
what's the next season of Strange New Worlds? Is it 3? Like,
we haven't gotten 3 yet.
Okay.
3 got shut down because of the pandemic. No, the strike.
The strike. I was going
to
say, whoa,
yeah.
Really?
Not the pandemic. It was the strike. The strike shut down season 3 of the Strange New Worlds. So over on the BQN Podcast Network Discord, that's where my other shows reside on the BQN Network. People have been, it's like the sky is falling. But I think on the whole, it's a good thing. Not so much that one of my favorites of the new Star Treks is ending, but it's getting five seasons, sure, they're 10 episode seasons, but that's 50 episodes of Lower Decks. So I think that's a pretty good run in this era of streaming. Mm. Discovery is ending at the end of this season, and so that's 5 seasons of that. We know we have 2 more seasons of Strange New Worlds at least. Starfleet Academy starts filming very soon, so we have at least 1 season of that coming. We have the Section 31 movie. We have 20 episodes of Star Trek Prodigy still coming. There's still lots of Star Trek coming.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you know, Paramount is having some monetary issues, but also if you compare this, what Star Trek has done over the last few years with what Star Wars or the MCU have done over the past few years, it's the same thing. They expanded really fast. They put lots of content out on streaming, and now they've looked at it and said, okay, I think we can make probably just as much money if we cut back on the amount that we're making, right? We used to get 4 or 5 MCU series a year, yeah. And now this year we're getting 2, right? It's the same thing with Star Trek. Last year we had 5 Star Trek TV series. This year there's 2, plus Prodigy, which is going to be showing up somewhere on Netflix. I just think it's a matter of fiscal responsibility and pulling back. I think if we want to continue to keep getting Star Trek in the future, they need to look at their budgets now.
Yeah, they throw a lot of stuff at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the stuff that you might like the best is not necessarily the thing that they consider sticking. And then,
right.
Yeah. They put their money where they think is going to be the most profit for them. Which,
right.
You know, they're a company. That's what they're supposed to do.
And there's been lots and lots and lots of talk about Star Trek Legacy, the show that should spin off out of the end of season 3 of Star Trek Picard. But if you look at that show, how is that show going to bring in new viewers, right? That's a show that's going to be designed for people who've been watching Star Trek since the 90s with the children of the characters that we liked 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in this instance, the network might have it right. And I'm just taking a wait and see attitude with it. Like, we went 12 years without any Star Trek on TV. So to go from 5 TV series down to 2 plus a TV movie, I think we're okay. And I think this is just a course correction. But that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And Discovery has been kick-ass this season.
Yeah, it has been. It's only 3 episodes in, and it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
And there was another Star Trek announcement.
The one about the movie?
That's the one.
Yes. So they have announced that a new Star Trek feature film is going into production for release in 2025. And all they have said is that it is about the origins of Star Trek. So I don't know what that means exactly, whether it's because we've already had first contact with the first warp drive on Earth. And so it could be about the specific founding of the Federation or the Romulan War that got the 4 founding races together. But that's what they said this is about. And whether it stars the movie cast with Chris Pine and Zoe Saldana, I don't know. We don't know anything. So all we know is what they've said, and that's that they're making this movie.
Yeah, that's... So should we talk about the CinemaCon stuff now?
Well, if you're jumping ahead on me, but that was where I was going next.
So. Oh, okay. Because that's where Star Trek news comes from.
Mm-hmm. I know, but Kevin was just doing Star Trek news.
I know, I threw it in there.
Jeez, you're wrecking my flow, Brent.
I just wanted to put like a little bit of a warning out there for people who get excited about some of this news. This is stuff that they're saying they're working on. And not stuff like some of this stuff, and not necessarily stuff that is actively being filmed or even beyond scripting stage. So they're like, as much as like, especially ever since like all these mergers and stuff, nothing is definite here. Like, take all of these with a grain of salt.
Okay, party pooper.
I'm sorry, but like, the Star Trek movie sounds pretty good, but like, at the same time, as There was the Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek movie that's dissolved into nothingness.
Yes. No, I think everyone that listens to this has got, you know, realizes, don't believe it until they're filming it. And then even then, don't believe it until you watch it on TV or on the big screen.
Just cross your fingers that it won't get cut for tax purposes.
That it doesn't become Batgirl. Anyway.
Acme, or the Wile E. Coyote versus Acme movie.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the one I want to see bad.
Me too.
Which one makes a better sounding verb? Getting Batgirled or getting coyoteed?
I mean, the coyote was already getting coyoteed.
Yeah.
So kind of makes a lot of sense.
Well, except that one sounds like it might still be in play.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Weirdly. Yeah, there. One of the producers came out and said there's been some more meetings about it. I imagine what may have happened is, so for those who might not be aware, CinemaCon is basically where the film, like the movie theater associations of the world, like come to a convention and all the movie companies tell them what they're going to be working on in the next little while in an effort for like these theaters to buy their movies to put them onto their screens. So it's a big pitching session, basically, of like, hey, we've got this. You should definitely put money in it and put it on your screen so we can all make money. And with Coyote, it sounds like what may be happening is because of all the stuff that we've heard in the last like month or so, like Will Forte coming out and saying this is like one of the best things I've ever done. All that sort of stuff is probably on the floor. Whenever a Warner Brothers exec went by, as somebody asked, so what's going on with that Coyote movie? Like, there's been some interest kind of generated, and now they've got to decide whether that interest is enough to excuse the tax break that they're getting.
Oh, sorry. Couldn't hide that one. Anyway, yeah, so we'll start with something that we know is coming our way because they showed footage, and Marvel was showing off some footage from Captain America Brave New World.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently in a clip with showing Sam and President Thunderbolt Ross, played by Harrison Ford.
Thunderbolt Ross again?
He was played by William Hurt in the other movies.
Yeah,
he's a Hulk antagonist. I wouldn't say villain necessarily, but antagonist.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, William Hurt passed away a couple of years ago, so they had to recast.
In the first, in the Incredible Hulk movie, he's the general chasing after him, whose daughter was dating Bruce Banner.
Oh, and that's then, Andrew Norton one?
Yes.
I've never seen that movie.
Okay. Then in Civil War, he's the government official that was the hologram, I think, in the room trying to convince them to sign the accords.
Okay.
The guy with the mustache.
Okay.
Yeah. You've seen him. You saw him in a few, but at that point, he was, I think, like secretary or something, you know, a different higher up government office. Like position.
And now he's Harrison Ford.
And now he's Harrison Ford. He's the president again.
Did Harrison Ford grow a mustache?
I don't think he had the mustache in the clip. Like, I saw a screenshot, but because they haven't shown the clips online, so it was like a screenshot that someone took on their phone of the screen they were showing it on and stuff. So,
oh man, I hope when Harrison Ford is doing the press junket for this movie, he's still playing the like doddering old man role that he does so well. It's hilarious.
He showed up in that, but then he's also supposed to be in the new Thunderbolts movie.
Oh yes, that movie with the title that's changed.
Well, with the logo that's changed, because it's still Thunderbolts. They just changed the font, like the way the logo looks.
No, they've changed the title. It's now Thunderbolts with an asterisk.
Yep.
Okay, I didn't see the asterisk.
And Kevin Feige is saying the asterisk, more will be revealed about that later on.
Okay, see, I didn't see anything about that.
That's funny. Curious what that even means, because it's an asterisk.
Yep. Okay, we'll stay with Kevin Feige. There was talk about the upcoming Deadpool Wolverine movie, And the talk was about the accompanying popcorn bucket. Now, the pictures that have come out online are not the actual popcorn bucket. That's all just internet created ones that look, you know, funny. And but apparently, as Kevin Feige said, you know, it will be a popcorn bucket designed by Deadpool. So
it's not where you reach into the popcorn bucket and you actually have to stick your hand in Deadpool's mouth.
It could end up being that, but the one that they showed online that has the, where it looks like it's got the teeth from the
from the
sandworm one. Yeah, no, that's not real. There was also another one where it's like the bucket was like a face, and the popcorn came out kind of the bottom, and it was like the mouth, and there was a Wolverine one, and those were all people designing them themselves. I can totally.
People are creative.
My thought was it was going to be something like you're reaching into Deadpool's butt to get the popcorn out or something. That's my thought. And it'd be like, he's like in like downward dog position or something like that with his butt up in the air and his face down at the bottom of the bucket. And you got to stick your hand in his butt to get popcorn. I could see that being a Deadpool popcorn bucket.
Would you buy that bucket, Ryan?
No. I bought a Slimer one. That's the only popcorn bucket I've bought. I would have bought a Ghost Trap. Because it would be repurposed into a ghost, you know, a Ghostbusters prop, but they weren't available here.
Yeah, I know. I would have bought all the Barbie ones, but they weren't available in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So, yeah. So, we got more Deadpool fun coming our way. Just a few months. Okay, so up into... I guess there was also a logo shown. I didn't see hear much about this, but I know this one was shared to us by our buddy Rex. There's a new SpongeBob movie. SpongeBob movie, The Search for SquarePants.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to say The Search for More Money.
No, it's called
The Search. That's Spaceballs
2. Yeah. That's all these sequels. But that's just Hollywood in general. No, it's called, The Search for SquarePants. You know, for those SpongeBob SquarePants fans that are out there you go. You're getting another movie. I don't know. Other than the theme song, I've never been big into SpongeBob.
Yeah. When I was younger, my cousins always said that the sequel to Spaceballs should have been Spaceballs 3, Whatever Happened to Spaceballs 2.
Yep.
They're not wrong. That would be pretty good.
And then, okay, so in the category of, hey, kids, look what we're making. I swear we're making these movie announcements. They've come out and announced that they are working on a Transformers G.I. Joe crossover movie.
Mm-hmm.
The one that by was Michael teased. Bay. Nope. Not by Michael Bay. It's produced by Steven Spielberg. Michael
Bay. So were all the other ones.
Yes, and so were all the other ones. Michael Bay hasn't made a Transformers movie since Dark Side of the Moon. I mean, Dark of the Moon. Not Dark Side. The last two have been directed by other people.
Oh.
Or another person. I'm not sure if you did both. But at the end of... what was the last one called? Something to do with beasts.
Beast Wars? Rise of the Beasts?
Rise of the Beasts. It wasn't Beast Wars. That was the cartoon. But that's what I was thinking, too, and I knew it wasn't right. Rise of the Beasts, yes. They tease a connection to G.I. Joe, which we've talked about before. And so it sounds like they're finally like, oh, yeah, we're making that movie. Yeah, we're making that movie.
All right.
So we'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it. And right up there with that one is another one that, you know, unless Brent and I really look forward to seeing if it happens. They've announced they are working on a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin live action rated R movie.
It's going to be like the Michael Bay Turtles, though.
I would hope not.
Not necessarily. To be honest, like... It'll be just due to the design in Last Ronin, it will be like a little similar.
Yeah.
Just because they're big. Like they're big, beefy turtles.
Well, especially at that. Well, they're older. The one that's left.
With a cameo of Hawkeye.
Why would there be a cameo of Hawkeye?
Wasn't he the Ronin?
She's got you there.
Yeah, but he's.
I outgeeked them.
This is the last Ronin, so there's only one left.
And it's Hawkeye.
So the other Ronin can't be in there. Different and wrong universe. No crossovers.
Michelangelo, isn't it?
Spoilers for those who haven't read the book that we've been talking about for 2 years.
I've never read it either.
Me neither.
Laysai.
Brent, I'm disappointed.
Bring it home.
Have you not bought the hardcover yet, Brent?
No, no, I haven't. I haven't in single issues.
Laysai. Brent, I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah. So the movie is currently being co-written by written by Tyler Burton Smith, who is the co-writer on Boy Kills World, that movie with one of the Skarsgårds in it, narrated by the dude from Bob's Burgers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so the guy who wrote that is apparently writing it, and it's being produced by Walter Hamada. For those of you who might be going, why does that name sound familiar? He was the guy who was the former head of DC Films up until he got kind of ousted and thrown out for James Gunn.
Interesting. And then this last little bit of movie news. I wasn't sure if this came out of CinemaCon or not, but it came out around the same time. Blumhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently is rebooting the Blair Witch Project.
Yep, no, you are correct. That's where it came out of.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, so there was that. So that's pretty much what my CinemaCon news. I guess this might as well throw this one in there too. I don't know if this came out of there or not, but we got our first look at Joker 2. They dropped the trailer. Two? Yep, starring what's his name and what's her name?
Joaquin Joker. Phoenix and Lady Gaga.
Yeah, that's her name.
Lady Gaga?
Well, at least it's not Jared Leto. I mean, be happy for small things.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't in the first Joker movie, so it wouldn't make sense for him to be the one in the sequel.
For all I know, they created another Joker movie with him in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, that's the next one, which will be Too Fast, Two Jokers.
Mm.
Did anybody watch the first Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie?
I saw it eventually.
Did not see it.
Was it good?
It's one of those dark. Like it's probably, you know, people liked it. It's a good movie, I guess. It's a little on the dark side for me. I'm not a big fan of these movies where it's like the main focus is, you know, of the movie is the bad guy and how, you know, I guess you're supposed to feel empathetic for them when nothing they're doing is at all redeemable.
Yeah. Although the Cruella de Vil movie that Disney did with Emma Stone was pretty good.
Mm.
I haven't seen that one yet. I think the tone of that movie would be a little bit different.
Yeah. But no, I'm just saying that I was agreeing that I don't really like the... Like, why do we always have to find a redeeming feature for these villains? Why can't they just be villains? Anyway.
If you don't mind, Ryan, I'll throw out like very brief little things that basically were talked about that like, oh yeah, that's a thing.
Why would I mind?
Speed round.
I've got one more brief piece of news when you're done too, Brent.
I still have more news to go over too. But
yeah,
this is
I just figured this will take up a good shot.
Yeah, no, keep going.
Go for
it. So, we have, there is a bunch of animated movies that were talked about, most of which we know about, like Inside Out 2, which already has trailers, the Lion King prequel, but also in the realm of movies we may have forgot about, Moana 2, was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, fresh off of his WrestleMania appearance, went straight from WrestleMania to Vegas to show off a whack of movies, and this was one of them. There is also nothing was shown, but apparently it was being shopped around. Lord of the Rings: War of the Rohirrim, which is is apparently an animated movie and was being pitched to various exhibitors, according to Polygon, as an anime. So we will see what, if anything, comes out.
Where does that fall into the whole Lord of the Rings story?
Ooh, I got no idea.
Okay.
I vaguely remember them announcing this like a while ago and just like it. Animation takes a little while, so it just sort of disappeared, right?
Anybody who listens to this podcast and is a big Lord of the Rings fan can tell us where the thing that Brent just said falls into the Lord of the Rings timeline. Let us know.
Being developed, Margot Robbie's production company is a little bit busy with adapting Monopoly to the screen.
No, no, no. They're doing The Sims.
Yeah, they're doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so they're just working on a bunch of things. So, like, we'll see. Again, it's one of those things. We'll see which actually, you know, shows up in the end. As well, her production company is teaming up with Olivia Wilde to produce a movie based on the comic book Evangeline, which was one of Rob Liefeld's comics. It stars a angel who fights the forces of evil in scantily clad clothing and usually has big hooters.
Oh, I think I had a friend in high school who was obsessed with that.
Yeah. Do you ever see her feet? Because we all know how much Rob Liefeld doesn't like drawing feet.
Yeah, and be honest, I don't know how much he actually drew that book other than covers.
I was going to say, and I'm surprised that she'd be scantily clad and not have, you know, all kinds of like pouches to carry stuff.
Wasn't she like with Lady Death?
No, that's a different
That's a different scantily clad warrior nun with big boobs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's so many.
So there's that. We're getting a Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Speaking of the sequels department, Gladiator 2 is on its way. This is a movie that's been like in developmental hell for like pretty much since the first one came out. There has been various scripts, one of which was written by Nick Cave. And I actually asked Nick Cave at a book signing about it. And I believe he told me, Ridley Scott's reaction was, this is one of the best screenplays I've ever read for this type of movie. They will never give us the money to make it. And it turned out he was right. it stars, I want to say Pedro Pascal, Denzel Washington. Like, there's a bunch of people in it.
They had a clip too, didn't they? Show off a clip.
Yeah,
for that one?
Like that one's in the can, ready to go.
Really?
So yeah. And basically, from what I gather, the main character is like inspired by the actions of what's Russell Crowe's character from the first one, Maximus. Is that what his name was?
Yeah.
Oh, that movie made my history teacher so angry. my Roman history teacher. I remember when it came out, because for those of you who listen and don't know, I have a degree in classical history, which is like Greek and Roman life and civilization. Anyway, I was taking Roman history at the time. And wow, he did it on like a 15, 20 minute rant at the beginning of class. It was great.
And so now we all know where Jen gets it from.
Mm-hmm. I liked Gladiator, honestly. I thought it was a very good movie. And I mean, he did have some positives. I had some positives and negatives too. But overall, I really enjoyed that movie. I think I have the soundtrack somewhere.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, don't get me started on Troy. That movie's garbage.
Yeah. I remember almost walking out of that movie. I thought it was so stupid.
Anyway.
Back to movies of this century.
Also, in terms of documentaries to make us cry, Super/Man, the Christopher Reeve story is on its way from Warner Brothers.
Oh, didn't see anything about that one.
Yeah, it got apparently a pretty good response from the audience that like they showed some clips to or a trailer to. Mm. So yeah, that's like the one thing that that does kind of make me sad a little bit is that. For the most part, all the movies that we're getting, like, you know, talked about out of this, none of them were like original properties. Most of them were sequels or based on like other things or stuff like that. You know, like it's kind of sad a little bit that there wasn't like something like just brand spanking new out and coming out, other than there is a musical coming from the South Park guys, apparently.
Mm.
And with being assisted by Kendrick Lamar, who's a fantastic hip hop artist, was part of Paramount's presentation. Oh, I'm actually kind of surprised this one didn't make your list, Ryan. We're getting a new version of The Running Man.
Yep, didn't see that one online.
Directed by Edgar Wright.
Interesting.
Yeah. What's
The Running Man?
That's the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie of like not so distant future where crimes and criminals determined by if you're guilty of something, they stick you into more or less a survival. They throw you into an area that's been cordoned off, and there's like their gladiators, pretty much guys with souped up powers and suits and weapons. And you got to survive. You got to run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, classic Schwarzenegger sort of stuff. But the what makes that movie work the best is so it's done like a game show, right? Like in many ways, kind of ahead of its time, it predicted stuff like Survivor and things like that.
Yeah, except kind of like, Hunger Games-ish, kind of Survivor-ish, kind of Price is Right.
But in a brilliant bit of casting is the guy, the evil TV executive / game show host, is played by Richard Dawson, who was the host of Family Feud for years and years and years. And it works so well. Like, he is so good in that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I couldn't find any info on it. The Running Man is actually based off of a Stephen King short story that he wrote as Richard Bachman. So I don't know if it's one of those things of we're going back to the original source material, or at least that's what we're saying we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so we have a lot of movies to look forward to in the next 2 years. Maybe we'll see how many of these actually happen.
Yes. Kev, you said you had some too?
Yeah, we got an announcement this week of the next Doctor Who companion. We haven't even had season one yet, and already we're talking about the companion who will be with Shurigatwa in season two. Her name is Virata Sethu, and this has been confirmed by the BBC. Do you know who Virata Sethu is? Yes, nope. Yes you do, if you watched Star Wars Andor. She was the rebel on the planet where they tried to pull the heist, that was the medic. She was in love with the other girl. You would recognize her if you saw her. But anyway, so it has been confirmed that Virata Sethu will be joining the show with season two. Millie Gibson, it's not official that she's leaving the show, but there are hints that she will sometime during the second season. But there are pictures of Shurigatwa with both of them together that have been released by the BBC. So, like I said, we are still like over a year from those episodes being released. But, you know, things get leaked. People see things and post about it online. And they got ahead of the leak and just released it as news. So there you go. Virata Sethu is the new companion.
Nice. And so in my news notes, I got two more little things here. Monarch Legacy of Monsters has been renewed for season two.
Oh, okay.
So you get more Monsterverse stuff. I think between
That comes out this summer.
What does?
The new Monsters stuff? The Monsters TV show, is that what you're talking about?
Season two?
Yeah.
I don't think so. They just finished season one, maybe a month or two ago, and they just announced season two is being renewed. I'm pretty sure it's not coming out this summer.
I think if it is, that's about awesome. Two different monsters things. I'm talking about the Pixar monsters.
No. Ah. We're talking about Godzilla and.
Oh, King I'm Kong talking about Mike and Sully.
No. That's why I said the season two of Monarch Legacy of Monsters, you know. Like season one of Monarch Legacy of Monsters that had Godzilla in it and Kurt Russell and Kurt Russell's son. Yes, that show is coming back for season two. I don't know anything about the Disney Monsters Pixar movie.
No, it's a TV series. Monsters at Work season two. That's why I got confused because you said Monsters season two. And I that's where my mind went because I watched season one of Monsters at Work.
I watched a couple episodes of that one, Kev, but it was okay.
Yeah, it's cute.
yeah, it didn't really pull me in.
Well, in this season, apparently, the last season focused on that new young monster who who went to school to be a scarer, and then when he gets to the to work, they've switched to laughter. Well, he's being recruited by a rival company who's still scaring children. So
that's the plot. I didn't know there were two companies in Monsters, Inc.
Neither did we. So
sorry, we kind of took over your story.
No problem. So yeah, not the monsters I was talking about, but look, that sounds good too. Some comic book industry news, a little thing that Brent and I had been speculating about. Skybound Entertainment has announced they are going to start doing compendium releases of the original Marvel Comics run of G.I. Joe Real American Hero. The first compendium will have issues 1 to 50. And if it sells well, then they'll probably keep going and catch up to where they are right now. I look forward to this because I don't have those comics and I've kind of wanted to read them now, and that'll be a good way to get them. That's this fall that comes out.
Nice.
Go to your local comic shop. And then the last little bit of news is something we all surprise announced, and we'll be able to watch it in a couple weeks. Star Wars Tales of the Empire, an animated anthology, and it will be going to be released on May the 4th.
Of course.
So this one follows up. Like last year we got Tales of the Jedi, and that one had like the Ahsoka episodes and the Count Dooku episodes, the one where we see all Yertle get killed.
I don't know if I ever finished watching that. Yeah, Yertle's the turtle. Yaddle's the Yoda.
Oh, sorry. That was close. But
there's a t-shirt for you. It says Yertle the turtle, Yaddle the Yoda.
There you go. Yeah, it looks good. It looks interesting. We've seen some follow-up with some characters from the Clone Wars that we hadn't seen in a while, and some other stuff happening in them. And yeah, I look forward to seeing these. I always like more Star Wars.
Yep.
And that's it for my news.
I think that pretty well does it, since we went through CinemaCon. I did want to bring up, there was a Twitter user named the Bradster 007 put together a thread, because I briefly mentioned earlier that like sometimes things just don't get made, they're announced and just nothing happens to them. But I given what we cover, I thought this was an interesting one. It's all the Marvel television projects from basically the 80s and 90s onward that just did not end up happening. And I'll skip, like, there's a bunch of old ones that, like, people may or may not remember, so I'll kind of skip over them very quickly, including a bunch of spinoffs from those Incredible Hulk TV movies, which I'm sure, like, Kevin and I remember, like, the Incredible Hulk Returns and Death of the Incredible Hulk, where they brought in Daredevil and Thor, or versions of those characters. There was supposed to be, like, those were kind of like backdoor pilots for TV shows. But there's a couple here that I found sort of interesting that I just thought I'd bring up. One is Damage Control, which, like, I believe we even talked about one of these announcements.
Oh, yeah.
So there's been two versions of this the show that have kind of like been worked on and then abandoned. But the biggest one came in 2015, where it was announced, and it would have basically been like the MCU comedy. There was also the New Warriors that we know that like a pilot was shot and then nothing ever happened with it. At the time, this was 2016. Jen was kind of happy about this because one of the main characters was Squirrel Girl.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still surprised that pilot hasn't leaked somewhere.
I'm still sad about that.
Here's another blast from the past. Remember the Deadpool cartoon that was going to happen?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
By Donald Glover and his brother Stephen Glover?
Yep.
Guess that's not occurring, or is still lost.
Never did happen. Either. Yeah.
Yep. This one I found kind of interesting. An Eternals TV show was announced in 2015. This was to be written and kind of put together by John Ridley, who did 12 Years a Slave and has worked on like a bunch of DC comic books since then. So, and this one probably doesn't surprise anybody, but I did find it kind of interesting and funny. 2002, Marvel announces Night Thrasher, the television series. It was basically going to be on UPN, which was like kind of focused on an urban television market. Obviously, that show never happened. So just in case you see something like announced, doesn't mean that it'll actually go into production. Kevin Smith once said that like there are houses in Hollywood built on movies that were never actually made.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From then, we can talk to something that kind of started off as one of these things and then got enough going behind it that we got a full-blown revival. X-Men 97 continues to be awesome!
Oh nice my gosh.
So, spoilers abound first, if you haven't gotten to the latest episodes as of the recording and playing.
Yeah, sorry, so we have seen up to episode 5.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched up to episode 5 and finished episode 5,
stop now.
Pause this, go watch it, and come back. Or skip to like 10 minutes from the end of this and catch our geek picks.
So let's discuss sort of a little bit of, I don't know if that is the right word, but Jen on the last episode mentioned that Magneto having a relationship with Rogue at some point was kind of gross.
I kept making vomit sounds. I'm sorry.
This episode kind of makes it worse in my mind. Like before, it was kind of like, all right, you know, May, December, or June, December relationship, those things happen. And now it's like almost like, wow, this is just like what you know, like you see on the internet happening.
I think we figured out in the last episode where we were talking about this that like even if we were like generous with Magneto's age, it still made him like 60 years older than 50 or 60 years older than her.
Mm.
Which made me go a lot. Like, oh, good.
Okay. Now, setting that aside, this set the stage for like some really good melodrama in this episode.
Yeah.
Oh, Gambit's one of my favorite characters.
Gambit kicked ass in this episode.
I almost
he got a lot of character growth and had a really epic heroic moment.
Yeah, I've never been a Gambit fan, and
same.
He turned me around this episode.
Oh, I've always liked him. I don't know why. He just...
I have always found that writers don't explore his powers enough. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, they've been set out as, like, he can charge things up to explode, right?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
But, like, nine times out of ten, it's small, throwable things, just playing cards is a prime example, yeah. Or, like, vases and stuff like that. Him charging up the motorcycle...
Oh, yeah.
...was awesome. Yeah. And as somebody who has played in a superhero RPG with his powers, it was, like, about frickin' time they start expanding on this a little bit.
I can kind of get why they don't. I imagine it takes him a little bit of time to charge up something that size.
Yeah. I mean,
not a lot of time. And I guess for like just mobility and quick fighting and stuff, it's a lot easier to be like tossing playing cards like daggers instead of like, hang on a sec while I charge up this big thing.
Or big things are hard to throw.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least like a motorcycle, he was, you know, momentum, right?
Yeah, so it was still awesome.
Oh, no, for sure. The way they, to me, like, you know, putting it into like a D&D RPG kind of mindset, using the attacking with a motorcycle and that move was kind of like he rolled like, you know, out of on a D20, maybe he rolled like a 17 or an 18. What he does at the end, like, that's rolling a 20.
Oh, yeah.
getting Rogue. Stabbed by the Super Sentinel or whatever you want to call it, and just like being like, oh yeah, and just it's like, dude, you're touching me. That means I'm touching you, and you're gonna blow. Uh-huh.
And the callback amazing. To his very first appearance on the original show, that line of like the name's Gambit, remember it? That's from like very early on in the original series.
Oh, but then Rogue's last words as that whole, we jumped straight to the end. Rogue's last words as the whole episode ends made me cry, where she was like, I can't feel you. Why can't I feel you? And I was like, oh, I gotta cry. Because I love their relationship. They're like the perfect X-Men couple, other than the fact that she can't really touch him, but he doesn't care. That's the best thing about their relationship, is that he knows and he doesn't care. If she could touch him, that would be fantastic. I'm sure he'd love it, but that's not why he's in the relationship, and which is why I love their relationship.
And I really liked that they actually, you know, explored that part of their relationship. They actually had them talk and be like, oh, you know, you play this role, I play that role, and that's just how we are. And he's like, yeah, that's how we are. That's who we are. Like, and pretty much he spells it out to her. Like, yeah, I love you. Yeah. I don't care. Like, you know.
And she obviously wants more, and she doesn't really realize it until, I guess, it's almost too late that, you know, she was happy in that relationship too, even though it couldn't be more. Yeah. And that's what made the whole thing make me want to cry.
Well, exactly, right? And they started off the film. If we go back to the beginning, to set the stage, you know, we're going to Genosha.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have any kind of X-Men history knowledge, you know, Genosha doesn't end well.
It never ends well. It is not a great place.
And so we see, you know, Magneto, Gambit, and Rogue fly in, and they meet the new ruling council, and the rep from the UN's there, and we call Nightcrawler's there.
I love Nightcrawler.
Oh, he was great.
He's also one of my favorite X-Men.
Yeah.
And one of the ones voiced by an original voice actor.
Hmm.
We get a bunch of other like Easter eggs in the background. Like you see other characters, like Boom Boom's there, and Dazzler's there, and a whole bunch of other
X-Men. And the Morlocks.
The Morlocks. Multiple Man was there, being multiple people, and it was a very good X-Men-y episode.
Yeah.
You know, they ask Magneto to become their ruler, or like, you know, the Chancellor.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to be called a king, and they thought he needed a queen, and so he asked, more or less, he asked Rogue to marry him.
Yeah, and then she went and broke up with Gambit.
Yep. And then she realized it wasn't what she wanted, and he was what she wanted, and then everything went to shit.
After making out with a man old enough to be her great-grandfather. Well, he meant great-grandfather, but
there's literal sparks between them when they touch.
I was making gagging sounds that whole time. I know it's a cartoon, but
And they explained to us why he can touch her.
Yes.
Even though he's not really touching her.
Yes, but it's close enough that it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
So, follow-up. At the beginning of this episode, we have our first appearance in this season of Cable.
Oh, yeah.
Are we taking this to mean that time travel shenanigans are going to fix what happened, or at least this is going to lead to Gambit not being dead?
Gambit better come back.
I don't know. I was on board with thinking, oh, this will be a time travel shenanigans, kind of like with the whole in the old seasons when Bishop first showed up, and then Cable and the whole assassination attempts and stuff. But then I saw a quote from one of the showrunners or creators talking about creating the season so far, and how with the first four episodes they really wanted to like be like, here's your nostalgia, here's your happy feelings. Oh, remember this show? You love this show. This is more of that show. And there's all, you know, this is all, you know, 97, pre-9/11, as you put it. And then episode 5 happens.
All your happy feelings destroyed.
Yeah. Mm. And so now it's kind of like going forward will be like a world, you know, which you get the tone of the episode is very different from the first four, which is not a bad thing. It's very good. But I don't know if we're going to get in, you know, because like we said, Genosha never ends well. Maybe, you know, I can see maybe a few people surviving, like maybe somehow Magneto survived.
Yeah, and Magneto's people definitely in
the bubble with them, even though we don't see anything, but that's, you know, we don't see a body either. Maybe they got teleported away somehow or something. But yeah, the fact that Cable shows up real quick, trying to warn everybody, runs into his mother.
Yeah.
Who finally realizes, oh wait, you're Nathan. Which yeah. says to the eyes, and then gets, you know, sucked back into time again. It's like, ah, yeah. So maybe he'll be able to come back and save a few people, but I don't see it stopping most of what happened.
Okay, so I'll throw this question out there as well then. Where are we going from here, do you think?
Australia.
Oh, you think they're going to do the Australian run where they're hiding?
I think what? They might be.
What's that?
So there was a run in the comics in the late 80s, early 90s, where the X-Men were literally exiled. And for some reason, they couldn't show up on electronic scanning devices either. And they based themselves in the middle of nowhere in the outback of Australia. And there was this Aboriginal mutant there who could create portals to send them where they needed to go for missions. And they basically hid out in the middle of Australia. I think they might be doing the Australia storyline condensed like they did Inferno.
Well, that's pretty much every show is like a condensed story, right?
So why would all the X-Men have to go into hiding after this?
Oh, because Genosha is a failed experiment, probably. And because of what Scott said on television.
Oh, yeah. I don't like Scott.
Who sent the Sentinel? That would be my other big question coming out.
Yep.
I don't think it was the UN lady because she looked like genuinely. No. I mean, it's a cartoon, so she's drawn the way she wants you to, but her character seemed genuinely like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And so, in the comics, she's a mutant.
Sympathizer?
Sympathizer, yeah. She helped create X-Factor.
So I want Gambit to come back, though.
I don't know if your time travel theory is possible because of one reason, and that's because the Watcher showed up, too.
The Watcher showed up?
Oh, he was there.
He was? I didn't see
the Watcher. Very briefly, but the Watcher was in episode 5.
When?
Where was this?
Kevin,
did you actually see it or just see the pictures online?
No, it's been confirmed that the Watcher was there.
I saw one picture where it shows like if you look at in the sky, there's like you see the Watcher's silhouette in the sky or something watching. Is that what they're saying? And you know, I haven't gone back to look for it to see if I can find it. And I haven't dug that deep into it. I saw that one day last week, and as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, you know, the old synapses fired. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Or hearing that.
So, but still the producer, one of the producers, Jake Castorina, teased the future of the, the Watcher was there.
We still, going forward this season, have to get some more Storm storyline, too.
Yeah.
Why does everybody want to get with Storm? Like, okay, maybe it was just because the last, like, original X-Men show or season that we watched, like, one of the first episodes was guy kidnaps Storm to marry her. And now it's like, oh, look, here's another guy who, like, wants to kidnap Storm to marry him. I'm like, why is it everybody always bugging Storm?
So, to be fair, like, that's one of those, like, things. The X-Men is always filled with melodrama. That's what makes it tick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that has happened throughout the life of the comic book, of the cartoons. Like, she is hooked up with various, like, people over the years. Black Panther, Wolverine, you know.
I guess when there's kind of only four women. One is married, one is a teenager, one can't touch anybody, you're really left with Storm.
Well, she is a goddess.
Yeah. Right? So there is that.
She's also the coolest X-Man in my
opinion. Oh my god, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But that's probably why I'm like, okay, cut her a break. Like, come on. She's more than that. Stop trying to own the goddess. Just worship her from afar like a good person.
The villain that's got her now, what's his name again?
That's not a villain. That's Forge.
Yeah.
No, the demon thing that was like taking her. She's there with Forge, but it wasn't Forge. Am I the only one that watched that episode? And
I forget. What happened in that episode?
No, I saw it.
We were just talking about him. The
Shadow King?
Yeah, wasn't that Shadow King in that episode that was attacking her at the end?
Shadow King. Oh, yeah, it might be.
Yeah.
She does have a history with him.
So. Yeah, that's what I was, yeah. Because
it was such a brief moment, I completely forgot it happened, to be honest.
Well, especially after the events of episode 5, I can get that.
That erased all previous episodes out of your brain. I do love watching this show, having never read an X-Men comic, really. And my entire background is just the previous animated show, which I watched as a teenager. So everything's fuzzy. Yeah. Because it brings up a lot of these questions where I'm like, okay, why? And sometimes you guys have great answers. And sometimes the answers are comics are weird, and that's just icky.
Yeah. But comics are weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's making it a lot of fun for me.
And that's what it should be. It's a cartoon about comic books, so it should be fun.
Except for I'm still mad about Gambit.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe on Wednesday that'll change.
See, but on one hand, I'm going to just keep bringing this up. On the one hand, I want him to have his heroic death, like his sacrifice that like saved so many people. It's like,
yeah.
But on the other hand, Rogue finally realized that she loves him.
Yeah.
And I want them to be happy.
Well, maybe in the next, you know, after it went to black, then another mutant, that one of the healing mutants, shows up and can heal him. So he still has this heroic moment, but now he's alive again.
Yeah. And then she doesn't have to date Magneto.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't have to make, you know, Magneto's dead right now, too, as far as we know.
Yeah, I don't really care if Magneto comes back or not. I've never been a real big fan of Magneto.
Alrighty.
I don't think that we're going to get any forward movement with the Gambit plot next week, because next week's episode is called Life Death Part 2. So that means we're going to be dealing with Storm and Forge.
Ah.
Right? I kind of like that we've skipped over the episode before, which was like two mini episodes, really, right? There was the Mojo with Jubilee and Roberto, and
We got the
Storm and Forge storyline. It was two mini episodes, and so Life Death. I remember that being a major. It wasn't a long story arc in the comics, but it was a major story arc, because didn't Barry Windsor Smith draw that, Brent?
Yes, he did. And there has been sequels to it, including one sort of sequel that he did, which is, I don't even know how to explain that. But like he was involved in all of them, and that Life Death is one of those stories that like it just. It's basically, it comes from, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 issues of X-Men. But I think much like the first episode of this, some of it was like backup. It wasn't like a full thing. Okay, so storyline that appeared, it focuses on the U.S. government taking steps with the first appearance of Forge.
Well, while you figure that out, I really like
there's a lot to get. It's been you can buy it in one graphic novel, or at least you used to, which I have downstairs. It's quite a good book.
And the first half of that episode with Jubilee being in Mojo World, the video game,
that was
pretty good.
It was all good.
it was the animation and like the scenes, like pretty much they took right from the arcade game was just just scratch that nostalgia itch, right?
I liked Mojo's assistant who was just like all the time.
That would be Spiral.
Fun. Yeah,
I liked her.
That for me is the perfect use of Mojo.
Right.
Mojo is like he shouldn't be. He's not an 8-issue storyline villain. He's a 1, maybe 2-issue storyline villain that you bring in every once in a while.
Yeah.
He's like an evil, wacky neighbor.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
When I learned that it was going to be about Jubilee inside a video game, my first thought wasn't Mojo. It was Arcade.
I thought they were going to bring
him in. But then I'm like, oh, Mojo, that's even more fun, really.
Mojo was, I've always loved the design of the character, too. I have the action figure. He's sitting behind me here. But, so, like, I would say, honestly, the series is getting better as it's going along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's been a solid cartoon.
I look forward to it every week.
Yes. Bad Batch has also been really good, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're not caught up, right, Kevin?
I am not, but go ahead.
Oh, there's not a heck of a lot to give away, really. It's just really well done. We're revealing the Project Necromancer. The show is making the new movies make more sense.
See,
yeah,
this is my kind of, I guess, annoyance with Star Wars right now. Is that in order to explain the movies, they have to release all of these TV shows. And I was like, or you could have made movies that made sense. Or made the TV shows first and then the movies.
Well, you know, once again, with Dave Filoni now being in charge of the creative for Star Wars, you know, hopefully things will be more like that. Things will make more sense as they come out. We won't necessarily need a cartoon season or a TV show season to fill in the gaps to make the stories of the movies make sense or be more interesting. But
yeah,
the same thing happened with George and doing the prequels, right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
The prequels came out. We were all kind of like, oh yeah, cool, Star Wars. And then the Clone Wars came out and it was like, oh, now that all is way cooler.
Hmm.
Yeah, see, they should have, I don't know. I feel like they have it backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't stop me from watching it all, but still, it feels like it's a little backwards.
We'll do a full post-mortem when the show is over.
Yeah.
But it's one of the things I look forward to every week.
Yep.
And one of the other things I look forward to every episode of the show, how about that for a segue, is thanking our wonderful patrons on patreon.com/truenorthnerds. $3, that's all we're asking for, helps us pay for various things that come with doing a podcast, like hosting and little bits of equipment and stuff like that. So for $3 you get the occasional Patreon exclusive show. One of which is called Listen to This. It's a music-based geek show hosted by myself and Alex, where we talk about music stuff. Next episode is us checking in on two bands that we haven't listened to in a while. And because we're old farts and we don't know new music very well, we are both listening to bands that are popping up in our feeds that we haven't actually listened to and giving a full kind of review of them. So that will be out. We do that once a month, and I've dropped the hints before, and this will be more of a hint. There is a secret show in the works that will be showing up on Patreon in the future. It is going to be a mini series. It is hosted by myself, and it is a partnership with another podcaster. So that's all I'm going to say about that until it actually happens. But in the meantime, thanks go out to Drew, Karina, Alex, Team Woods, who is very nice and has put together TrueNorthNerds.com for us. Mike Hammond, who says hello, Ryan, because he popped into the store today.
What?
Yes, he did.
He wasn't supposed to be in the store till next week.
Well, he came in today, so you can argue with him about that.
Well, I have some books for him, so. I guess he bought the books that he had put aside?
Yes, yes, he did.
Okay, I'm going to text him right now. Pardon me.
And, of course, our faithful friend, Rex. Thank you all for your financial support. If you don't want to contribute via Patreon, just, you know, give us a shout on out on Twitter or like your social media of choice. Share the show with other nerdy friends and get them listening to it, too. It all helps in the end. So with that, we are at the end of the show and Geek Picks. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
So I started watching and then last week at some point and then finished it today, a new Netflix series called The Three Body Problem. It was getting a lot of hype and a lot of ads and stuff when it first came out. It was first added to Netflix probably within the last, maybe a month ago now. I know I was a few weeks before I started watching it. It's an interesting series. It's sci-fi. Without giving too much away about the show, there's, I guess, some people have made contact with an alien race that lives quite far away. And it's figured out a way to have, like, communication, you know, quick communications. And the solar system they live in it's one where their planet, I guess it revolves around, there's like three suns. So its rotations are quite erratic. And the lifespan of its civilization is quite erratic. And they've decided that, they pretty much have been invited to come to Earth. And they're on their way. And there's some stuff that goes on and some things with some people. And yeah, of course, you know, humans don't always make the greatest first impressions with aliens. And because, well, we're not really that nice of people sometimes. And so, yeah, they find that out. And yeah, they're coming. Cool. And they're stopping people from doing things. And yeah, it's very well done. It's got, I did a horrible job there of pitching it. but it's Benedict Wong. Is that his name?
Wong from
Wong from Doctor Strange.
Strange.
Yeah, he's in it. He's in it. There's another actor, an older gentleman that I recognize from things. I just can't think of what else he's been in right now. He's maybe Scottish or if you saw him, you'd know him too. When you see him, you'll be like, oh, okay, that's probably the guy. There's two actors that I recognize, but it's really well done, and it's good sci-fi. Give it a shot. It's on Netflix, so yeah, if you're paying for Netflix, it's there. Watch it. Why not, right?
All right, who is next?
I guess me. I just want to go over a few of the books I've been reading on DC Unlimited lately. Some of the sort of more minor books. I have really loved the current Mark Waid run of Shazam. I think that's been really fun. It's Shazam versus an invasion force of space dinosaurs who really are more care more about doing the paperwork and the bureaucracy than the actual invasion. They are going to destroy the Earth because the proper paperwork wasn't filled out. I thought that run has been really fun. Birds of Prey, the first story arc of Birds of Prey has been really great, and I'm interested to see where that goes. I like the characters that they've brought together. Of course, it's Black Canary, her sister somehow, Sin, Barda. They used Harley Quinn in the first story arc, Zealot. So yeah, it's been interesting. And the third one is Poison Ivy. We've been doing a story arc about her background and her history and her history with the Floronic Man. So those are three DC books that I think people should keep an eye out for.
Poison Ivy is probably the only DC book that I actually have on my pull list. I've been getting that one since it started.
Well, there you go. I've just started reading Poison Ivy.
Oh, okay. Nice.
It's a fantastic book.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jen?
So last time we went to the movies, there was a trailer for Spy X Family Code for the movie. And I was like, oh, that looks adorable. It's on Netflix. So I watched the first like 7 episodes of it. It is so, so cute. So the premise of this anime is there's a spy. He's like the best spy in the world. And his new mission is that he has to, I forget what his actual mission is. He has to protect somebody or expose somebody. I don't remember. Anyway, but in order to do that, he has to have a child enrolled in this school because the politician that he's trying to infiltrate, his son goes to that school, and the only time he really comes out because he's all paranoid is to school events. So he has to adopt a child and he has to get a wife. So he goes to an orphanage and he adopts a little girl who's really cute. But the thing he doesn't know is that she's telepathic. So she right away knows that he's a spy, even though he never says anything to her. He does not know that she knows that he's a spy. So then a couple episodes later, he needs to get a wife to complete the family. And so he ends up meeting, purely by chance, an assassin. And of course, the little girl who's a telepath knows immediately that this woman is an assassin, but she doesn't want to go back to the orphanage. And she is so in love with the idea of having a real family that she tries to keep the family together. So nobody knows, the spy doesn't know the assassin's an assassin. The assassin doesn't know the spy's a spy. They all think that they're each other's lies, except for the little girl who's 6, who's trying to hold everything together and not tell anybody she has telepathic powers. So it's very, very cute. I mean, the episode where the spy meets the assassin, like basically he's posing as a psychiatrist. She's posing as like a civic worker or something like that. Anyway, a bunch of like hitmen try to kill him, the spy guy, and they're on a date and she's like, oh my God, what's happening? And he's like, oh yeah, no, he's like beating the crap out of these people. He's like, oh no, it's concussive therapy. These are my patients. This is a new therapy. And I was like, honestly, dude, that's not a good lie. Meanwhile, they're all yelling, kill him. So yeah, I can't wait till the part where the big reveal is, which I'm assuming will be hopefully by the end of season 1. Only season 1 is on Netflix. And I just looked up the movie. It's coming out on the 19th of April. So I don't know if I'm going to get the whole season done by then, but I don't think you need to watch the, like, I don't think you will need to have seen the show in order to watch the movie, so I might just go watch the movie anyway.
Have you looked to see how many seasons there are out there?
As far as I can tell, there are 2.
Okay. As you say, because, yeah, Netflix added a bunch of anime this month, because the first 5 seasons of My Hero Academia are on there now, which have been a geek pick of mine before. I saw a bunch of other ones on there, too. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you should try My Hero next.
Oh, okay. So does anybody want to come see this movie with me? I'll go by myself. It's okay. Anyway, if you have Netflix, you should watch this anime. It's freaking adorable and still very violent and still fun.
All right. I guess that means I'm up. I very rarely do this unless I'm like a good chunk of the way in, but the first 2 episodes, it's released the episode and a half of this show, have kind of blown me away a little bit. It was a suggestion by one of my coworkers to watch this, and it is a show called Tokyo Vice that is in Canada. It's on Crave. In the United States, it is on Max, formerly HBO Max. It's based on a book that is about an American journalist who is writing for one of Tokyo's biggest newspapers. And when you start at the bottom of the paper, you start on the crime beat. So it's a combination of, like, you know, crime thriller and also like just the differences in societies between like North America and Western views towards this sort of stuff and like Japanese views on this. Like in one part of the episode, he finds out that one of the things he's doing wrong when submitting his stories is nobody in Japan, like especially Tokyo, gets murdered unless the police say it's murder. It's always something else until there's actual proof or there was a witness. So it's really well put together. Michael Mann is the producer on it and directs the first episode. So it's just gorgeously shot. If you've ever seen any Michael Mann stuff, like you kind of know what you're getting into. It stars Ansel Elgort, who was in one of my favorite movies from a couple of years ago, Baby Driver. Ken Watanabe is also in this. It's just really well done. And like how they hook you and this isn't giving anything away, in the first episode is so simple but brilliant. It's basically the main character of the show, a reporter and a detective played by Ken Watanabe, go through all the things that can go wrong with this meeting with like a Yakuza boss they're supposed to have. And then the meeting gets changed when they get there. So it's like even more tension and danger is put up. And the boss is like, you shouldn't be writing this story. It would be better for everybody if you don't. And then the main character, Jake, is like, can I consider that for a little bit? And then it flashes to 2 years earlier. So like we already know where at least the first season, I guess, is going. Like we have this big thing is like, how do we get there? Like, I'm so invested in watching the rest of this now. So, Tokyo Vice on Crave in Canada, Max in the States, and I'm assuming various other streaming services around the world. Like you, the person in Germany who keeps listening and hasn't messaged us. that brings us to the end of this episode. Let's go just quickly around the horn. Is Ryan the only one who has podcasts going these days?
No.
Oh, okay. So let's start with Kevin then.
So yeah, I released an episode onto the BQN this week of a new podcast, Batleth Battles. If you used to listen to Galaxy Class, every now and then we would do a Batleth Battle where we took two episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation and put them head-to-head against each other. Well, my co-host from that show, Joe Keegan, and I are back, and now we are doing that same thing with all of Star Trek. So you can hear us debate two episodes of Star Trek. Our first episode was an episode from season 6 of Deep Space Nine, Fear, Loathing, Fear in the Great River, something like that, and an episode of Star Trek Discovery, Species 10C. So if you like a little Star Trek chat, why don't you give us a listen on Batleth Battles on the BQN and available wherever you get fine podcasts. Ba-doom!
Jen, where can people find you on the Instagrams?
Well, if you are interested in the types of toys that I collect, you can always look at my recent acquisitions on Instagram at Dolls and Ponies. I did a spa day this weekend, so I got some cleaned up Barbie dolls that I found while thrifting. Or if you're into yarn and knitting and that fun stuff, you can always follow me at Missembria_knits. And you can see my adventures in yarn dyeing. And if anybody has a lead on where I can get undyed yarn cheap, let me know, because I'm almost out from my awesome haul that I got off the auction site.
Nice.
Ryan, what's going on with the Collectorverse?
Okay, well, we did our I guess it was March episode just a couple weeks ago. So Ed and I got together, we talked toys. I forgot my list of new figures to talk about, and so Ed had to come up with some toy news, and so it was quite interesting. And of course, you know, we got to hang out, talk stuff, talk toys. You can find us posting photos of all of our toys and whatnot on Tales from Collectorverse on Instagram. You can find the episodes right here in this same feed. And we'll be doing another episode later this month. Who knows what we'll talk about? My guess, more toys.
And for me, you can just find me on this feed and on our Patreon, because I'm working on various podcasts there. So listen to this. I should be recording a new episode of that. I think I'm recording Saturday. And the other mystery show, well, that you're going to have to wait for that one. In the meantime, thank you for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks. There's a couple of movies coming out that we might be covering, so we'll see what actually gets done. Yes.
Best ending ever.
That's it for the show. Thank you very much for listening, and a bombus day.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the True North Nerds. You can find us at truenorthnerds.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at True North Nerds. To contact one or any of the nerds, you can email them at truenorthnerds@gmail.com. Theme music provided by Kirby Crackle. You can find more of their music at kirbycracklemusic.com. If you like this show, please go to your podcast app of choice and rate and review us.